This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner here alongside Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall to look at two events this week with the Madeira Islands Open on the European Tour and the Arnold Palmer Invitational on the US PGA Tour. Good to have you with us. And we'll, as we always start, with a little bit of a reflection on last week. And Dave, first of all, incredible event in Innsbruck. Really enjoyed the golf on Sunday night. Finished with a three-man playoff with Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed and Sean O'Hare. And Spieth eventually coming out on top. But really enjoyable, nice view in that one.
Yeah, it was immense, wasn't it? It was kind of a window to the future, really, wasn't it? Seeing Spieth and Reed certainly, you know, battling it out and just coming up with some amazing shots as well. Really clutch shots, you know. It wasn't just kind of last man standing. It was who really wanted to sort of go out and win it, and they just wouldn't give in, would they? I mean, Reed was that ridiculous shot out of a bunker. So much bottle, the pair of them. It just bodes well. I mean, it's kind of, once you've had all that guts and determination onto the obvious talent, you've got a real sort of package, haven't you? And those two, you know, how many events are they going to win?
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, we've talked numerous times on the podcast about the changing of the guard now that Tiger looks to be, well, he's definitely in the twilight of his career now. One stat that I really like, and this comes from Jamie Kennedy, who's a stats man for the European Tour. Since Tiger Woods last hit a shot at Augusta in the Masters, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed have combined for 15 wins and 61 top 10s. So that's indicative of what we've seen
since
in the game of golf.
Since he hit a shot at Augusta.
Yeah, since he last played at Augusta. Obviously missed last year's championship. So since 2013, a real changing of the guard. And
yeah,
two of those guys in the playoff.
It does look that way, doesn't it? It's hard to see Tiger at the moment coming back. But you can't write him off just yet, I don't think. But yeah, we'll have to see. His injuries do look to be becoming more and more terminal, don't they? So, and I noticed that Rory McIlroy's even replaced him on a video game this week. So
yeah.
The insult of all insults. Yeah, it's that's maybe telling.
Mm. I tweeted my annual picture of the Pro Shot Golf Arnold Palmer game. Always love to do that at this tournament. Yeah. Did anyone have that? Did you have that, Mike?
I didn't have it, but I am aware of it. Yes, yeah, I think right. I played it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, your dad might have had it, Dave.
Yeah.
You almost tipped Sean O'Hare last week on the podcast as well. That's worth mentioning, Dave.
Yes, I mean, I was in here on Sunday night on the InPlay radio show. Tune in every Sunday, listeners.
Yes, definitely. Good call.
And I do my live sort of take on how the US event is unfolding. And I was kind of watching it in kind of almost horror because I mentioned him, which is good, but I didn't actually put him up and I didn't back him myself. And it was just one of those, you know, don't, somehow you know when you've not done it, it's gonna happen. I was just sat there gradually.
I thought it was going to win as well. I really did.
That putt looked in all the way, didn't it? On 16 totally. In the playoff. Yeah. I can't believe that missed.
No, I mean, he was brilliant. I mean, the good thing, I know on Twitter a couple of people said on the back of the mentions on the podcast, they had a few quid on and traded out. So it was worthwhile. So I'm glad.
It's always worth mentioning. It was a good call, but he could easily have won.
When you're not on at 150s or he was 200s maybe, then you do kind of think.
Absolutely. I've had a couple of those myself so far this year. Yeah, it's we need we need the ones that we're picking to win, not the ones that we.
Yeah,
but he didn't win, and your old mate Jordan Spieth did, Dave, which is the first time in 83 tournaments that you haven't picked him.
Yeah, well, I wasn't on the podcast last week. I can't say I would have picked him, but obviously I would have picked him last week. I wasn't on the podcast.
I knew he'd say that.
Was he 12? Was he?
He was short, wasn't he?
He was short. Yeah, but he's forever going to be short.
Isn't he even played 83 tournaments, mind you? Was he thinking about it?
Let's get stuck into this week then, because we've got two events. One of them good, and one of them. Not so good. We'll start off with the not so good.
You know how to sell it, Dave, don't you?
Ah, well, there you go. Everyone knows, don't they? Still cash to be had, Mike. And it's 20-1 the field in the Madeira Islands Open, which is a glorified Challenge Tour event, really. We've got 20-1 joint favourites here. Justin Walters and Ricardo Santos, two at the top of the betting. Bradley Dredge, Kevin Phelan are both 25s. Carlos Pigem is 33-1, along with GB JB Hansen, Joachim Lagren, and Renato Paratore, also 33s. Victor Ruiz, 33s. And SSP Chaurasia, also 33-1. And it's 40-1 bar. Dave, I suppose we're back in Europe this week for this about, championship. Yeah. Just about.
It's nearer to Africa than it's to Europe.
Is it really?
Yes, yeah, twice as near. I'd look on the map.
This is a Robert Trent Jones work, Jr. Yeah. design. And the course, we've got to fill the time somehow, haven't we? The course has hosted this championship from 1993 to 2008. Then Porto Santa Golf took over for a three-year spell. However, the golf event moved back here in 2012. And since then, we've seen three first-time winners in Ricardo Santos, Peter Uihlein, and Daniel Brooks. And even though this course measures a rather meagre 6,800-odd yards, Dave, it can be attacked because the fairways are wide. Mm-hmm. And those last three winners, they could all be described as bombers, couldn't they, I suppose?
Yeah, when I think down the years when I've heard this tournament mentioned, it's been described as kind of a short, tight, fiddly, you know, oceanside sort of track,
yep,
and linked and thrown in with other ones somewhat lazily without really looking at it, but like you say, the fairways are really wide. There are trees, but they're kind of miles off the fairway. And I looked at the last two winners, Brooks and Uihlein, were top of the driving distance stats the week they won,
really.
Yeah. Which is absolutely, you know, against all this steady eddy kind of reasoning. So yeah, that's, I think that's a way in. I think it's got kind of got misconstrued what you need to do well here.
The weather was a disaster last year, wasn't it? Reduced to 36 holes this event that Brooks won, and we're expecting similar conditions maybe this time around as well, so it could be another rain affected tournament, which sort of tempers enthusiasm from a betting perspective, Dave.
I don't know, the weather forecast I saw, I think it was bad two of the 4 days. Have you seen a more recent one?
Looking like that.
I think it went somewhat
right. That's bad enough, though, isn't it? Two out of four.
Yeah.
But I mean, they can handle rain. It just depends what the wind is. But yeah, it's always a bit unpleasant to have a 36-hole tournament unless you've backed the leader and you're just willing it to
call it off.
Has anyone got a pick here?
I didn't give this tournament a lot of attention, I have to be honest. So no.
Well, I kind of haven't, but this idea that big hitters do well.
Yeah,
I did obviously then glance at the driving distance stats, and I did notice Scott Henry, who was runner-up last year, lost in the playoff, is second on that list.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought, well, if I was going to do anyone, and he's not kind of a stupid price, and what is he?
66-1.
Then I would do him.
He's one of my two tips.
Right.
I've got two selections for this event.
Go for it,
and
Dave.
One of them is Scott Henry. I wouldn't put that much stock in that second place finish last year because it was over 36, but... he's obviously a Scottish character, so he's used to this filth that could get thrown at him this week. And that was a pretty good performance, I thought, at Joburg in a much stronger event where he finished tied 37th.
I always look for Scottish players near African events. A massive link, isn't it?
I tell you what, in this sort of conditions, it's going to be more Scotland than Africa, I think, this week. So he's long off the tee, as you mentioned, Dave. I thought it was worth chancing at 66-1. And the other guy that I think could be maybe a cut above the players in this field, I've gone for, albeit at a short price, Kevin Phelan at 25-1.
Same. Yeah, I was going to use that exact terminology that, you know, in a couple of years' time, we could be sort of laughing that he was that price in this event.
Yeah, I don't know how strong he could be, but he had a pretty good amateur career, didn't he, Dave? So I just thought he was the man in this field that I wanted to be with. You look through his bio on the European Tour. I didn't even realise that he'd played Merion back in 2013 in the US Open and made the cut. He finished third at Hong Kong the back end of last year. Already has a second to his name in that Joburg Open this year. Another interesting little tidbit here is that he counts Padraig Harrington as one of his closest friends on tour, and he said when he first started out, Harrington was the one guy that he went to for advice. Harrington, obviously winner on the PGA Tour relatively recently, he classes him actually as a confidant, so hopefully Harrington's spoken to him subsequently, and I think Phelan's got a good chance in this field at 25-1.
Yeah, I remember at Merion when he was playing in that US Open, on Twitter there was a lot of Irish guys who kind of with good knowledge kind of saying, you watch out for Kevin Phelan. They were really, really kind of expecting him to go well. They were certainly sort of shouting his name and saying, you know, this is what we've, you know, this is no surprise to see him, you know,
in the mix
here and doing well, because, you know, he's could be anything. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, I can't remember what odds Peter Uihlein went off in this event, but looking back, it was kind of like a men amongst boys, wasn't he, really?
Yes.
And I know Phelan looks a bit like a boy, but he could be a very good boy against average opposition. I mean, when you look at Justin Walters as favourite, I mean, come on. Mm. Like Julie Walters as favourite. But I mean, he's kind of, you know, he is what he is. He's a solid sort of South African, but...
I suppose the other one towards the head of the betting that I considered was the Italian, Renato Paratore.
On the same grounds. Yeah, that, yeah, he
33
could be a lot
to 1. And he went well in the Desert Swing, didn't he? Finished, had a good finish in Dubai, Paratore. So he was the other one that I thought this place could suit him, but he needs to bounce back to form a little bit, whereas Phelan has that recent result in Joburg to back up his chance, and I thought 25s was fair on him. So just the two picks.
Yeah.
Small stakes, but plays on Phelan and at 25-1 and Scott Henry at 66 for me.
One more to mention, just on the fact that he's a massive hitter, is Pedro Oriol, the Spaniard.
Okay.
That's he's a big hitter. He's a Spaniard playing in Portugal-ish.
Near Africa. Of,
yeah, and it's 50-1. You know,
that's all. Yeah, why not?
It's clutching at straws, isn't it? A little bit.
He's got the odd bit of form here and there. But
you'd say 65%, maybe 50, at least 50% of these players aren't going to feature in another European Tour event this season. That's how weak this event is.
Yeah.
Let's move on then. Let's get stuck into the Arnold Palmer Invitational next. Rory McIlroy in action here, 5-1 favourite. Henrik Stenson is 9-1. Bubba Watson is 12s. Adam Scott is 16s. Jason Day also 16-1. Ricky Fowler 25s. 33-1. Brooks Koepka, Harris English, Hideki Matsuyama, JB Holmes, and Keegan Bradley. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. Back at Bay Hill for the championship, Mike. And it's worth noting that changes haven't been made to the golf course for this season edition. The sand in the bunkers has been replaced, which should, they think, eliminate some of the poor lies. Fairways have been extended significantly as well. I'd expect scoring to be lower than it has been in previous years. Are you in the same mindset here, Mike?
Yes, I would. I think it was pretty decent last year. Was it about 13 under won it last year? I think something like that. So I wouldn't expect it to be a total birdie fest. It certainly, they've eased it off from a few years ago where it got tough for a few years, didn't it? The scores were quite tight at Bay Hill. But I think that Arnold has, or someone anyway, has decreed that they make it a little bit more possible for the players to get lower scores. So we've got a very good field. It should be a fascinating event.
I've got a feeling the Bombers might be suited this week, Dave. I've just got a feeling that given the fairways have been widened significantly, I don't think the rough's going to be as much of a factor as it has been in previous championships, and that could suit the longer hitter.
Yeah, although you look at the top of the market, they're all Bombers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Whereas the sort of, there isn't really anyone who's an average hitter anymore, almost. I mean, that is, I mean, I know it was very exaggerated the other week, wasn't it, when it was at the Cadillac, when it was a kind of who's who of great Bombers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Contesting it. I'm not sure it'd be quite as extreme this time.
I wouldn't be surprised if distance is probably more useful than usual here, but in the past it's probably been slightly more a greens in regulation type player wins. So, but I can see what you're saying, Dave. The areas around the greens have been made a little bit easier, I think. So people can have a bit of a go more, can't they, I suppose, is the expectation. But DT's right, there are a lot of long hitters at the top of that market, aren't there?
How many picks have you got, Mike?
I haven't got any, Dave.
Okay.
I have a couple of players that I'll mention, but all the ones that I fancied, including one that you're going to pick because I've sneaked at your page, are just too short for me to have a bet on. So I'll tell you what I fancy, but I'm not having a bet.
Dave?
Two. I'll say
okay,
two.
You lead off then here.
Yeah, I'll lead off. And I'm not overly thrilled by his price, but kind of the narrative this year, isn't it, seems to be the changing of the guard, young players to the fore. Patrick Reed kicks off 2015 with a win, and we've seen Brooks Koepka win, we've seen Spieth last week with Reed. Hotney's heels. So I think, whose turn is it now? Who's the next cab off the rank? Ricky Fowler.
Okay.
Ricky Fowler, 25-1. I remember a couple of years ago, him and Tiger went neck and neck, didn't they, down the strip? That was when Tiger was good. That year 2013 when... He won five times, didn't he, Tiger? We sort of forget about
People
that.
People forget about that.
Yeah.
Dave always forgets about it, to be fair.
That was one
I'm going to dig up a podcast from about 5 years ago where I say, never brilliant. Win another major.
Right.
Stick with that. One yet.
But anyway, Fowler was...
73, I'll still be saying he can win one.
Well, that's the thing with that bet. Take a while to get paid
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that year, Fowler versus Woods, it was kind of, well, you knew he was going to win that. Tiger was still just... getting it done in those years, but obviously Fowler showed his liking for the course. Shot a pair of 67s around 2 and 3, then he revealed he'd won a junior tournament there, so he's always liked Bay Hill. I mean, his year's all geared towards the majors, top five in all four majors last year, and he started slowly this year, but I wasn't massively surprised by that because I thought he might just... he took 2 months off because before Christmas he was just top 10 every week for the second half of the year. After Christmas, yeah, he came back a bit slow. He made his cuts, but didn't really get going. Then he was 12th. He said he'd done some good work with Butch Harmon. 12th. Was it the Cadillac he was 12th?
Yes.
Yes. And then looked at his stats on that. Very good greens in reg, very good putting stats. It just seems like his time and his run for Augusta, now's the chance to sort of really throw in a big one. And I think this is just a good time for him. He seems to love it, doesn't he, when he's got a big quality field around him. It seems to kind of... bring out the best in him. So I thought 25-1 Fowler would kick my staking plan if he was the one who I really wanted to get. The only thing that was going to put me off was a terrible price, but I don't think 25 is terrible enough. It's okay. It's
yes, okay. Ricky Fowler 25-1. My headline selection here is a headline as well. Really fancy him. JB Holmes is my number one pick here. He was 40-1 with Hills.
I might have done him at 40s.
Yeah, he was 40.
But when I saw that chopped out.
Well, I thought 40s was incredible. I think 33s is fine. I find it impossible to leave him out. I think there's still sufficient juice in the price at 33-1. He's had the opportunity to win 3 of his last 4 events, and he led at Pebble as well in an event where he really didn't have the opportunity to win there. Not quite managed to seal the deal, and many will point to that as a definite negative. But I think he'll be absolutely ecstatic about where his game is right now. After opening up with that wild 62 at Doral, he comes into this event at the very top of his game. Prior to that, he'd had that chance at Riviera before disappointing on Sunday with a 76, beaten in the playoff by Jason Day at the Farmers, where he maybe should have gone for it at the last and got beaten
definitely.
In the playoff there. Last 4 starts on tour, strokes gained tee to green, read second, first, fourth and first. So striking the ball... as well as anyone is in the game right now. Career at Bay Hill, not spectacular, but he's made 8 of 8 cuts here and was tied 10th on the back of some poor form here last year as well. I'm convinced those changes that have been made to the golf course are going to favour the more aggressive big hitter, which goes in his favour. And I thought 33s was fine. The negative is whether those travails recently have an impact on how he plays this week. But I think it's key that following that that high-profile loss at Doral, he spoke very positively about where his game was at the end of that golf tournament. And he's healthy for the first time in a long time as well. Year's perfect health. And I think JB Holmes is primed for another good shot here. I thought 40s was very good. I think 33s is fair.
Yeah, I'm not quite with you there. I think 40s was decent. 33s was just a little bit too short for me. But I hear what you're saying. I think he's got a massive chance to play ever so well. If distance matters, we know that'll suit him. He certainly always played well at Bay Hill. And this is an event that tends to go to players who've been in decent form on the Florida swing, which obviously he has with his performance at Doral. It's quite a good form guide often that players who have done well in the 4 weeks or so beforehand tend to perform quite well here, so he ticks that box for sure.
Did he play in the Honda? Can't remember. I was reading the theory that players who played in those back-to-back events at the Honda and the Cadillac kind of were battered for 2 weeks in terms of their swings,
right,
it was really windy.
This year or any year, Dave?
Just this year. Last few weeks.
I don't think he did this year.
Yeah, well,
I'm pretty sure he didn't play in Honda.
I think there was a stat where if you played in both, not many who played in both did very well last week. Just because they'd had, you know.
No, he didn't play Honda. He played
in his favour.
Farmers, Pebble Beach, Northern Trust, then the Cadillac.
Yeah. So. I mean, I suppose with him, it's kind of, how long can you stay hot for?
Yeah, that's the negative, isn't it? Whether or not
if you're going to stay hot for a long time, then you're Tiger Woods, aren't you, or something? You can't just keep. It's like Jimmy Walker. It seemed for a while how is Jimmy Walker ever going to cool off, and yet he has. And
yeah,
I think maybe JB Holmes maybe has had his streak, and he might just quieten again before he kicks on. But it's a bit of a guess, to be honest. And I suppose you're arguing why you can still get him at some sort of price, keep going in.
I
think he's got a good big chance. Don't get me wrong. I had him higher than that in my own kind of head in terms of the odds that I wanted. So, I think he could very well go nicely this week.
I'm just looking at the players around him that aren't in the same sort of form as he's in. Nothing like the same sort of form as he's in.
Like
this
Bradley.
Keegan Bradley is the prime example there. Yeah. Keegan Bradley switched to the short putter. I know he's finished placed in his last 2 years here, but he's switched to the short putter. There's only one reason a guy that's anchored the putter is going to use an anchored putter. That's because he doesn't put well with the short putter. His putting will definitely suffer as a result, and we've seen that it has suffered. I think you take JB Holmes against Keegan Bradley and they're both 33s. I don't understand that. JB Holmes has got a win more recently than Keegan Bradley as well. Bradley's gone 3 years and JB won the Wells Fargo last year. So that's where I stand on
that. Can you get him in a match bet?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. But I'd be taking JB all day long against Keegan Bradley. Who's your second pick anyway, Dave?
Just before that, are you willing to do a sandwich bet, Fowler versus Holmes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, even though I've got the better.
Yeah. Right, okay. I'll take you on there.
Deal.
You're still one down.
True. Yes.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Our shifts don't tally very well. He said shuffling in his seat.
Yeah, Fowler versus Holmes, more than happy.
Game on, right?
Game
good.
On. Second selection?
Yeah, you have to scroll a long way down for this one.
Okay.
There's an element of. Because I nearly sort of landed a big one, even though I didn't actually back him last week and he didn't win. So it's a funny way of nearly landing a big one. But yeah, it did make me look a long way down the field. And I stumbled upon John Huh.
Okay.
Just because on the face of it, it doesn't seem like he's got a massive chance. He's got some decent form of late, kind of bubbling under. But a couple of years ago, he was second going into the last day here. Second after round one, third after round two, second after round three, and then he just kind of blew up on the final round. But obviously for 54 holes he showed he can play really well at Bay Hill. I mean, this is a guy who won, I think he won something like his fifth or something like seventh PGA Tour when he won at Mayakoba. He was sixth at Torrey Pines in his second ever event, won Rookie of the Year that year. And he's still, if you look at his record, it seems like he's fallen away. It seems like one of these, you know, whiz kids who's had his little early burst and fallen away. But he's put up a few top threes and top fives since. Shows up every so often. And I just think if you can get him at a massive, I mean, 200 to 1, if you can get him at that kind of price.
Yeah.
And this is a limited field, isn't it? Is this about 120, is it, in this event? So, yeah, that is that. Yeah, he'd be a bit of a bolt from the blue, but I'm with you. He's got ability as John Hurst, so I could see. Yeah, that wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world.
I mean, he was talked of really, really highly, and you've got to expect youngsters, unless they're kind of like Spieth, to have a dip at some point. And it's kind of a relative dip. I mean, the year after when it seemed he was poor, he got to the third leg of the FedEx playoffs, which is hardly a crime, is it? So he's done okay. But I think as well as that 200 to 1, which I must put a little bit on, I think top 10 would seem a reasonable compromise.
Yeah.
I think I looked at him and he was 14s in that.
Okay.
So I think that's a nice kind of sensible way of playing him. But as Mike has set the blueprint for bets like this, make sure you have a bit as
To win. You don't want them winning at 200s and you've got 18s for a top 10 D as your only bet. You want a bit of both, I think.
He's my kind of outsider to cause a shock.
My outsider's the Aussie, Matt Jones, is my outsider at 100 to 1 this week. He's my second selection. A bit of a flyer with him, and He won it around about this time last year at Houston, and that was his first win on tour. Running into form nicely now with a 14th at Riviera, coming on the back of a 7th at Pebble. Hasn't played since then, which is a bit of a concern, given that, as Mike mentioned earlier, players that have been successful here in recent seasons have had some form in Florida. But he's rolling the ball well, plays the par 5 as well, which I think is always key around this golf course, and I give him a good chance at 100-1, so Matt Jones would be my selection at 100-1.
Yeah, fair call that, Dave. JB was definitely on my mind. The other player that was closest for me was Martin Laird, but Mark Hadsett's very short on him at 50s. He's a keeper, I reckon, this week, so yep. I couldn't put him up at 50s, although I have had a little bit on him myself at higher odds earlier in the week. He's won here before, Laird, and if you can give a fairly sterile performance last week, he should really have been a bit closer. He's in decent nick, so I was close to him, but not at 50s. Freddie Jacobson, he's an interesting outsider, as is Brian Davis. Davis in particular plays well here, so he might be one worth it. He's more of a top 10 bet though, isn't he?
I've got him written down here. His game's almost there, isn't it? And yeah. If long hitters don't have an advantage this week, he could definitely feature. But as you mentioned, I think he would be one to have a serious look at in that top 10 market.
Yeah. He's 150-1 in the outright, something like, I think he was 14. 11's only short. 11's on the top 10, but... Mm. Yeah, he could run reasonably well. They were the ones who were on my mind, really. Laird and Holmes are the closest. Jacobson does tempt me. He's been pushed out, actually, from 80s to 125. He's more tempting at 125 than he was at 80s.
A couple that were on my mind, barring the guys that I've picked, Vijay Singh, who's over 50 now, but his work ethic is still there. He's playing well, Vijay Singh, at the moment.
I don't think he'll win, though,
I don't think he'll win. I think he's one for the top 10 market without a doubt. And Jason Kokrak, who I think does have a... He's 11-1, by the way, Singh. Jason Kokrak, who I think has got a good... I've picked him a couple of times this season already.
He's got a bit of both, hasn't he? Current and
yeah,
course.
He's got current and course. 66-1
he's become obsessed by long hitters, haven't you?
I've not become obsessed by long hitters, but I think he's a long hitter. just waiting for... He's shown a little bit of sparkle now because... He's been out of form, Jason Kokrak. He finished 4th here last year. And another guy that I thought, if he's primed this week, Louis Oosthuizen, he's 80-1.
Yeah, that's the kind of...
I mean, he's class, isn't he?
Price and nothing else at all.
Yeah, but he's not playing that. Didn't play well last week, did he miss the cut? Was 6th the week before, wasn't he, of course? But... Yeah.
He's not got a good record there, has he? Has he played?
Hasn't played here in recent years. 2009, I think. Mm. Yeah, which is a long time.
Talking of which,
you need to play here a bit. That the one thing Rory.
That's what I was going to say. How do we think Rory's going to do on his debut?
Well, I think he'll do well. I do, but only because he's Rory McIlroy. Yeah. You know, I think it's a course where you need experience. I really do. It's idiosyncratic to a degree, and I think that most players tend to need a couple of outings there before they figure, but it wouldn't surprise me if he won this week.
I think there's a couple of big negatives with McIlroy. One of them is it's his course debut. The second one is he's not playing brilliantly at the moment, and his season's geared around peaking for Augusta.
But he'll want to play well before he gets there, won't
he? Yeah, he
will. Won't turn up there playing average. I think he'll be really up for playing well this week. On Arnold Palmer's course, he's bothered to turn up here, which he hasn't done before, and he was top 10 last outing, wasn't he? So we're judging him by very high standards, rightly so, because he's a 5-1 shot, don't get me wrong, and I'm not backing him myself, but I just have a feeling that this could be the week where he starts to get his season in gear.
Would you rather have him or Stenson at the prices, Dave? McIlroy 5-1, Stenson 9s, or did neither appeal?
Well, I think I think with Stenson, you know what you're going to get. I think you're going to get some sort of challenge. I mean, was he top 4 the last 2 years here?
Yeah.
Yep.
Played very well last week. He's kind of, you know, running into nice form.
8th and 5th the last 2 years, 4th the last 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah, right. So he's got everything converging, hasn't he, there?
Yeah. But he's 9-1.
He's 9-1. He doesn't win an awful lot, does he, in America? If at all.
Had that one.
He won at Players.
Incredible year, didn't he?
He won the thingy at the end of last year. But
He looked strong last week, I have to say, eye-catchingly so. But then Bubba Watson, I mean, the top of the market is strong, isn't it? You've got Bubba Watson, who plays great here normally, and he's in great form. Adam Scott was third here, I think, last year.
Scott was miles clear, wasn't
he? Was. He was nine clear at one point, wasn't he, in collapse?
Should have won.
Yeah. I just think he's one that you... with Scott, it's the same as Bradley. He's gone to the short putter.
Yeah.
He putted terribly en route to missing the cut last week.
He's fourth in the Cadillac, though, Dave, wasn't he?
Yeah, I just think it takes a leap of faith to back any of those guys that have switched from the long or the anchored putter to the short putter, because I think in the long term, their putting is going to deteriorate as a result of that. And it's going to take time.
Yeah, I certainly have a lot more trust in Stenson. I mean, Stenson, what was he, top five for a top five? I mean, he's going to be obviously hovering around two to one, is he? But
yeah.
Be short than twos.
Yeah, he'll be short.
6-4, 13-8.
Oh, he's 12-5 for a top five.
See, I think that's not a bad play, to be honest. I think he's as a reliable finisher here as you can get, a reliable proposition as you can get in this event, Stenson.
Yeah,
I don't think the maths work on that one. I'm surprised at that. So you're getting a bigger prize for your top five without the win bet. Right. That doesn't make sense. That will be cut.
Yeah, 12-5. I thought it was going to be shorter than 12-5 when I went in the market.
It's 9-5 with the win bet, isn't it? So it can't be bigger without it. For Stenson we're talking about. That will be cut.
I just think, I'm sure if you look at when he wins, it's absolutely loaded in the second half of the season, and it's when Stenson tends to win.
Yeah.
But I think that's a pretty... If you're into that kind of thing, if you're into sort of, you just want to grind out a sort of profit and have a comfortable week, I think Stenson top five, I think, is a decent bet.
Superb. So we've got the free lunch bet, Dave.
Yeah.
Which is Fowler versus JB this week.
Yeah.
Let's recap the selections then before we sign off and give the player we don't want to win as well. Have you got more?
No, I finished. Yeah, I finished.
Okay, so
Madeira, I think 12-5 Henrik Stenson in the top five is a better than we, to be quite frank.
It is nice. Madeira Islands Open, first of all, just the two selections. They are small stakes. Half a point each way Kevin Phelan for me at 25s, and half a point each way Scott Henry at 66-1. And in the Arnold Palmer...
With me and Mike are looking as if either of us is going to make a cake joke. So we buy you a bit of Madeira cake.
If one of them, I'm more than happy to receive that that offer. Yep. And in the Arnold Palmer, Dave, you give your...
Yeah, Ricky Fowler, a point and a half each way on Ricky Fowler. And then half a point win, John Hur, a point, 1 point win, 1.5 points on the top 10. That's two, isn't it?
Okay. Ooh,
split. Yeah, he's going for it. Good effort.
Yeah, 1.5 top 10, half point win.
I'll go JB Holmes, point and a half each way, 33s, and point each way, Matt Jones at 100-1. Who's the player you don't want to win this week then, Mike? Who came closest to making the grade for you?
Martin Laird.
Martin
came
Laird.
Came closest, yes. So he would be the player I don't win. JB was very close as well, to be fair.
Mm. I think mine would be Kokrak or Oosthuizen. Probably Oosthuizen. Louis Oosthuizen at 80-1 because I know how good he is. And 80s, he was tempting. Dave?
I don't want JB Holmes to win an AOU sandwich.
Fair enough. That's
two dinners. Two dinners.
Very fair.
apart from him, well, I don't know, Rory possibly. I mean, 5-1. I mean, he's a bigger price to win this than he is the Masters, isn't he? Mm. Surely this is an easier win, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I guess any
time. Those
like
superstar players, I really believe course experience is important here.
Yeah.
But some people transcend that, don't they? And he's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Like if he wins at five, you think, well, if he... Well, I don't know. I think any time a player like that wins,
the Masters is a tougher field.
Have we got the Masters odds?
A limited field, isn't it, the Masters? Which I suppose, but the less players...
But the pressure on him is going to be immense, isn't it?
Yeah, at the Masters. He's
so
92,
half a point
yeah.
shorter to win the Masters.
Yeah, it's surprising. As Dave says, it is that there aren't as many can win, but the ones, but everyone's there, aren't they? That's any use at all. So yeah.
Tiger Woods, by the way, 40. Will Tiger turn up?
What's he gone to now?
40-1. Will he play in the event? Do you think?
I wouldn't be backing him anti-post, that's for sure.
No.
he was 25 on Sunday, so he's gone out in the last couple of days. Well, if he plays or not, he's not going to win, is he? He's not going to get anywhere.
No, I wouldn't think so. I know he is. He is arguably the greatest player that's ever played the game.
Well, I don't think he can win. No, I haven't given up on him totally because.
Would you back him for top 10 if that equated to what?
I wouldn't back him. I wouldn't back him at Augusta at the moment. You'd need to see something before then, wouldn't you?
Well, it's going to be his first. If he plays,
I wouldn't.
It'll be his first outing, won't it? If he plays Augusta. What price would he have to go for you to consider backing him, Mike? if the reports came out in the
that he
was happy with his game, as they always do on a Tuesday, and his chipping's back, and he looks better than ever on the range. What price would he have to?
Yeah, I've been
to
following David Duval on that basis. His game's always going well, innit? Doesn't think will happen when the tournament starts.
Well, it's the same with Nick Doherty. So he's always getting his game. He always says at the start of the program. I'm getting my game.
Don't believe anything they say. I don't believe anything they say. Players try and kid themselves that they're playing well, and don't they? And that they love courses that don't. I don't listen to them very much. I don't know. 66.
Yeah,
you'd be tempted, wouldn't you?
I bet you'll be able. I bet if he comes back, you'd be able to get some 66.
How is Tiger 40 when Lee Westwood has come like top 11 the last 5 years? 50s. Lee Westwood has beaten Rory McIlroy in each of the last 5 years. Augusta, yeah, he's 50-1 bigger.
Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, bigger than.
I didn't know that.
That's interesting stat, isn't it?
Yeah, that'd be great to see Westwood win one, wouldn't it? Well, there's some value there. There's a few players that catch the eye at bigger prices. So, yeah, can't wait for that one. Who'd you pick if you were picking someone now at those odds?
That is a tough question.
Dave's going to say Phil Mickelson.
Dave
Tyndall, that is.
I'm not going to. I wouldn't say Mickelson right now. You know what? That is a very, very difficult.
It's a hard question.
Isn't it?
It's
not difficult.
It is.
And those odds. I mean, what have you got? Bubba at tens. Can he win back to back?
Yes, he can. Yeah. But I'm not saying he will. Yeah. But he's good enough, isn't he?
I wonder what price Pat Reed will go off. He didn't play well there last year, but course looks.
Does it though? Why does it?
It does because
you tell me why.
He's got.
It can only hit
that
it
prevailing.
One,
yeah, but that.
Yeah, but no, that's yeah. That's a miss.
You need to draw it off the tee and fade it into the greens, don't you?
And he can only do one of them.
I suppose. Yeah, that's fair.
He can hit the tee shots around corners, but then what?
Yeah, that is fair comment. He can't. He
I
couldn't
think he
play.
Was found out last year.
He couldn't play the hold off shot into 17 last week. Could he?
No chance of getting there, did he, on that one?
Freddie Couples, top 10 after two rounds. Probably the bet, isn't it?
250-1, Freddie.
That's reliable bet. Here he goes again. Rolling back the years.
Okay, well, it's going to be good. But yeah, we can keep our powder dry for the time being.
I'm looking forward to it immensely. 3 weeks' time to the Masters 2015. Thanks to both Dave and Mike, and thanks to you for listening. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter as well. It's at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, and at Dave Tyndall Golf. You can pick this up on iTunes and audioboom.com as well, just by typing in William Hill. And myself, Dave, and Mike will be back next week. Enjoy the betting on the Madeira Islands Open and Arnold's tournament, the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.